Srila Prabhupada ki
jai,
Shri Bhakti Vaibhava ki
jai,
Tarantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai,
Jai Giriraj Maharaj ki
jai,
Jai Nitai Gopremanandi. So what did we discuss last night?
A devotee should gradually transcend from the nodes of material nature and understand his own body, I am Brahma, and then realize Krishna and get to the other side. Like the Guru, a special master is called Paragama, the one who takes from this side to the other side. Para. So we have to understand what the spiritual master is telling and go to the other side of the world. Coming back to the world.
Good.
We have discussed that Srila Prabhupada stressed the point of regulated life for devotee. So whether one is old, so devotees, pure devotee or a new devotee try to be reflected in his life, in his material life or spiritual life. That's just systematic.
But what did he say? I didn't hear it. Can you repeat? Say something.
No.
Loudly, with love.
The Prabhupada stresses on the point on the Prabhupada about regulated life, how devotees, pure devotees, very much regulated in his life, not only in spiritual platform, also material platform. Everything does in that, every daily activity is on a regulated basis.
Thank you.
Acknowledging that we are in Maya is the first step for getting out of Maya. And devotee is so that's a sign of humility also. See that.
I think you made a very good point about devotee where she has been looked after right from the beginning, from Swayambhu Manu to Kandava Muni to Kapiladev. They are instructing her. Which I thought, I mean, this is a very way that a woman should be looked right from birth till her old age at every stage. So that, I thought it was very interesting.
So this one of the stage of Panchadasham Vanaka. So this is applicable to man and woman. Now one marriages, the woman is the lesser age. Now, what will happen there? 50 years, say, wait, and wait for a few more years, and then you go.
Because the woman would be younger generally.
Or is that the option?
She goes with the husband because. Yeah, she goes with the husband because the children are grown up and married. So she goes with the husband. She may be younger, but she goes with him.
In Vedic system, householder does not remain attached to household life or family life till the time of death. Prabhupada says, we must leave to make spiritual advance at the age of 50.
The age of 50, there should be an adjustment in one's life. Something should happen at the age of 50. Something should happen. If there isn't some sort of adjustment taking place, and if there isn't an internal shift in the consciousness, then we're failing. So that has to be there. Anyone?
I read sometime back, I don't know whether it's Srila Prabhupada or not, but it was mentioned that if a person is progressing in spiritual is Krishna conscious, then he does not need to change his ashram. Is that correct?
So we have to go in.
You can't put it. You can't put it on.
Sorry. If Krishna conscious in his life, then he does not need to change his ashram.
Means he may not have to separate from the wife, but they will take vanapras. They'll go from grihastha to vanapras. Doesn't mean they stay in grihastha life. Like that. Means they may not have to. He may not have to take sannyas. They may not have to fully. Like that.
Krishna devotee says that the audience and the speaker both should have a very good mentality, so that there is more nectar flows.
Just for my own clarification, just see whether I totally understand this. The distinguishing feature between grihastha life and the vanaprastha life is the absence of sexual life, correct? It is not the physical going into the forest or all the things, but it is the abstinence from sex.
No, it's that's part of it, but generally the grihastha will stop having sex early on. Yeah, because you stop having kids usually when you're in your 20s or 30s. So sex life has already been given up, renounced. So what it means is that one will not have a fixed resonance. That's what it is.
No, that is in the Vedic times, but Prabhupada in his purpose lies there in during these times. In fact, he says that one of his purpose that you don't have to go to the forest.
Yeah, it means go to the forest, like that. But he does say in other places that you go to Vrindavan.
But he says, yeah, you visit holy places and all that.
Like that. It means that you won't have like a... It means that one's emphasis is no longer on material life. That's what it means.
I'll just leave this sentence very interesting for us, like that. To go to the forest does not mean to become a monkey or a ferocious animal. That's part of the thing. But next sentence is very important. It means to accept exclusively the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is, complete dependence on God, and engage oneself in full service. One does not actually have to go to the forest.
So then we have to look at the examples of our vanaprasthas. So, what are some of the examples we have? We have Sankarshan Prabhu and his good wife, and is it Vishnu Priya, I think it is. So Sankarshan, so that's vanaprastha. So you can see by their example what vanaprastha life is. Mm-hmm. And then you have Burujan Prabhu and Jagatrini Mataji. So you can see that, okay, not going to the forest literally, but grihastha life is finished. In the sense, there's no more emphasis on the material side of life. Everything is spiritual now.
But I've been to Perth, the mother's thing is there. There's a big ashram that the mother is staying. But he stays in a container, in a yard. He stays separately. He has a room, everything is separate.
So that's vanaprastha.
Yeah.
Vanaprastha. It means that in the vanaprastha stage, generally the husband and wife, they begin to minimize their association. Mm-hmm. And the association will be based purely on spiritual content. So it means that, you know, like you see Burujan Prabhu, you'll spend maybe 3 or 4 months of the year in Vrindavan, right? And then when they're in Perth at Gopinath Dham, then it's a replica of the holy dharma, like that. So they're like living a spiritual life, you could say, in the forest. Meaning, Prabhupada says later on in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says to go to the forest means to go to Vrindavan or Mayapur. He says that. So they literally go to Vrindavan, or they make the place where they're staying non different from Vrindavan, or they travel and preach. So you see that. So you see that model. In Burujan Prabhu and Jagatrini Mataji and Sankarshan Prabhu and Vishnu Prabhu. It's okay?
Well, please correct me if I'm wrong. Like, you know, for example, if there is a devotee, so about, you could take example of Amrish Prabhu. You know, he was his mind, he might be, you know, subtly in the stage of Manakrishna, but he has to still, you know, have to go to the office, look after the business and everything. But he's spending so much, you know, one of his earnings to the, you know, Maya, new projects and everything. Can you consider that, that sort of a platform as a Manakrishna?
No, it's probably more Grihastha. Depends how involved you are in the business at that point. I don't know what his involvement is at this stage of his life. He may have got to the point now that he's not actually running the company. He may have just delegated to all the managers and he just is like an executive like that. So I don't know actually how he does it. The Grihastha works because you have to, because you're a Grihastha. You have a Griha. Vanaprastha, Grihastha means Griha. You have a home. Vana means no home.
Completely.
Yeah, there's no home like that. So there's nothing to maintain. So you've renounced like that. So that's the difference, because in Grihastha life you're entangled, you have responsibility, Vanaprastha, responsibility is gone, right? You don't have maintenance issues. You know, you live off your savings or whatever like that, and you go, you live a, you become a sadhu like that.
My understanding is that in every ashrama, or entering an ashrama, one needs to go through the sacrificial rites. Like one is initiated as a brahmachari, and he marries in front of the fire and takes a vow and becomes basically grihastha. And there is, you know, the sacrifice involved at the time of the sannyas initiation as well. How about vanaprastha? Do we have vanaprastha initiations?
I'm not sure. I haven't heard of anything there. But like you said, then all the other ashrams have something there. So it would seem that there is some sort of the reason you have a jagya is because you take vows. That's the point. So at sannyas time you take vows. At grihastha, at marriage you take vows.
That's right.
And then in brahmachari life, it means that when you take initiation, you take vows. I don't think in brahmachari life there's a formal entrance into brahmachari. When you take diksha, which would be...
The yajna pavitam for the young boys, when they were sent to the ashram of a guru,
like that,
is as good as physically, you know, the brahmachari initiation.
Okay, like that. So it means that something is being accepted. Like that. So then if there's some sort of vow or something being taken in Vanaprastha life, then there may be some jagya. I don't know if it's a formal thing. Bhakti Vijayapurna Maharaj will come soon. He knows all these details. Or Banu Swami knows all these things. So I don't know about any technical.
It's just voluntary, Prabhu. They decide.
Mm.
And they leave the house.
Chant Hare Krishna.
Initiation into the Krishna consciousness means surrendering all varieties of the nature, which is the Varnashrama Dharma. So, really, all ashramas are practically abandoned, isn't it? One is really, you know, the sannyas in his consciousness when he just surrenders to Krishna. So then, that a grahastha who has taken the initiation at lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master, he is already, you know, the vanaprastha, basically the sannyas by his consciousness, if he's practically following the instructions of the Krishna consciousness.
Okay, so then, if he is that, so generally you see that material attachment is very deep. So therefore, that's why we have the ashrams. That's why there's so much emphasis in this part of the Bhagavatam that you must give up. If you're factually speaking, if you're like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, right, on that platform, but most of us are not. The attachment is there, subtly. So that has to be given up. And we see that Kardama Muni, the Lord himself, appeared in his home, but then he set the example.
Yes,
he left. So then Prabhupada says then, that's how much emphasis there was in following this system. That must be followed.
You said also, the purports are so beautiful, Prabhupada purport in the last 11 sections. Srila Prabhupada is also telling that we have our spiritual senses, but at the moment, these spiritual senses are contaminated by the three modes. So we have to clean them and make them perfect so that we can go to the angel.
When we call this an austerity, when we call this sadhana, when we call austerity and sadhana?
The posture and sadhana. What is the difference? Sadhana in general means practice. So it means practices that you accept in your life. That is sadhana. Sadhana means something you do every day. Right? Yeah, so tapasya is a different thing. Tapasya means... tapasya is a part of sadhana. But we don't see sadhana as being purely tapasya. Tapasya is something that we take up in our life in general. You know, there's some tapasya, we say that. But sadhana in general means like a regulated practice that we accept on a daily basis. That's called a sadhana.
So chanting is a sadhana, right?
Yeah.
Tapasya is mostly unique to an individual. Tapasya can vary with each individual. Sadhana is more uniform for all individuals.
Yeah. It's a different thing. They're two different things like that. We all accept tapasya. Tapasya is something that all of us accept. But it's different to sadhana. Like that. We don't look at our sadhana is chanting 16 rounds a day. That's our sadhana. But we don't see that as being tapasya. But there are, we do accept some tapasya in order to advance in Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense?
Isn't it four regulated principles are supposed to be tapasya?
Yeah, it depends if you're attached or not.
If you're four regulated principles.
Yeah, if you're attached to those things, then it's tapasya. If you're not attached to them, then it's not tapasya. It's just no problem.
But when you join the Hare Krishna movement, you have got to take those vows.
Yeah, but my point is tapasya means austerity. Mm. Like for me, eating meat is not tapasya. Mm. Because I don't like eating meat, so that's not tapasya. It's not austerity. Like that. Austerity means something which you have to renounce, which you would normally enjoy. But you renounce it for a higher purpose. That's tapasya. Like that.
So. How do we reconcile the point you said one day in Jagannath Puri when all the Brahmacharis coming without their shoes and hot sand as their Prabhupada says, four different principles is enough in the Kali Yuga to do austerity and austerity. Hmm. So because those Western devotees are doing all those, they're attached to that, and it's austerity, Prabhupada said?
Yeah, it's an austerity if you're attached, that's the point. There's four principles. I know three of them I don't have any problems with. Right. It's only sex desire that I have a problem with. Right. Intoxication doesn't bother me at all. Gambling doesn't bother me at all. Right. Meat doesn't bother me at all. But desire for sex, then it's something we have to conquer, have to overcome. Right. So it depends on the individuals. Some devotees will struggle with different principles.
Mother Devaki is also telling to his son, say, my Lord, You are my transcendental eye, and you will take me from the darkness into the future world. Mm. So, very strong prayer to his son. Mm.
So, getting up very early, that is tapasya.
Say it again.
Getting up very early, that is tapasya.
Depends on the individual.
Difficult for me.
So then it's tapasya. Mm. Yeah. At some level, this is not difficult. Mm. So it's not tapasya.
If the devotees like Amrish Prabhu is, so we just mentioned, if they are serving Krishna by the actually, the efforts, and they are renouncing the fruits of action completely for, the Lord, and as a result they are not able to actually adopt the ashrama of Vanaprastha, then, and here is an example of Kardama Muni in Bhagavatam, he says, you must. Just goes to the forest. How do we just reconcile that? I mean, is a devotee who thinks he can serve Krishna better by earning money and giving fruits of all his activities to Krishna, and that is he doesn't want to pick up, the Vanaprastha Ashrama. Is he still right? And is he still following the principles of Bhagavad?
Yeah, he is, but you'll see that they will do it. Because no one wants to work in the material world perpetually. So then, I don't know about his life. I don't know about Ambarish Prabhu's life. I'm not sure what he does, but I know that he is becoming more renounced and less involved. And as far as I understand, he has more of an executive position. I don't think he's running the company on a daily basis. I think in terms, he's more, you know, he owns certain shares, a certain proportion of the company. But I don't think he gets involved in things, you know. And he's becoming more and more inclined to build the Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir. So he's more absorbed in spiritual activity now. And he's just using the money which is there to. Okay. And Ford in America has lost a lot of money in the last few years. It's going down as a company.
Okay.
So I would suggest, I don't know, but I would imagine that Ambarish Prabhu is probably getting realization from Krishna, just take all the money and just put it in Mayapur. Because, yeah, it's not going to last. The whole situation is not going to last. I mean, how much is petrol now? So that's the indication. You watch now what happens. The magnates in Saudi Arabia, I think they're producing it optimum level now, right? I heard that recently. That's an optimum level. They're like producing as much as they can produce at the moment. I think that's what they've got to. So you watch now. This is where all the, from now on, this is where the problems begin. It's all going to be about oil. You watch. All the conflicts going to come on oil. You watch. Next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, you watch. Conflicts will come. Because everyone wants that commodity. Right? And it's already $1.50 a barrel. It's just going to escalate. You know, that's not even affordable. Sorry, that's already stretching. You watch, and then it's just going to go now. You know, soon it'll be $2 a litre, and then the fights will start to begin. And China will become very, you know, because the Chinese are very, you know, they're going to become very strong like that. And America's becoming weak financially. It's going to be a lot of problems in the near future.
I read in the newspaper that in Bombay, then making the fuel for the car from the garbage.
Yeah, you can. In Brazil, they use
cooking oil, corn, diesel, cooking oil, maybe diesel.
No, in Brazil they use coconut oil.
In the US, they use.
No, sorry.
In the US, they're diverting corn for fossil fuels.
Yeah, in Brazil they've been using ethanol for 20-30 years. Right? So it's much less harmful on the environment than petroleum, much less. And it's not as damaging, and you know, it can be like that. Brazil's been using it for years, they're well ahead. Yeah, and it's much more, the environment's much better, much less pollution and like that. So I mean, they can convert over if they want to. But there's going to be a lot of problems in the world in the next few years. I mean, you have a look at all these conflicts already happening in Beijing. You know, the hypocrisy of the Olympics. You know, we're just one happy world. We're all going to come together and hold hands, and you know, we're all united and everything like that. It's just a load of, you know,
propaganda.
Yeah, propaganda, or however you want to call it. You know, China's dominating Tibet, like slaughtering people. It's just the whole hypocrisy, total hypocrisy. So, you know, this is the kind of world we're living in. So it's just going to become more and more worse.
Yeah. They will do whatever it requires for the oil. Actually, yeah. In New Zealand, the recent research where that by killing the lambs from the flesh, they can make the oil. So if they kill about 2 or 3 lambs and make fuel for the truck can go about 4 or 5 kilometers.
Mm.
So that is a recent finding.
Mm.
So they are going to spend more money on that and kill the animals going ahead.
Somewhere in Europe they've developed that as well. They're running the public transport system on animal fat as well. Like that. So there's only one answer to all these problems. New underground.
Definitely going to be a good day. And then I'll say, then when they all come, I'll say, all these problems are going to be so many problems.
Ashwagandha may require petrol.
But sugar cane, from sugar cane.
Well, I'll take you 4 days to walk there.
Require petrol. Okay. Okay, so
these things will make us tired of the sense gratification in this world.
What's that?
This all these things.
Problems.
Will make us tired of this world.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
And then we can listen to the message of Kapilamuni.
Yeah. Very good. Okay. So these are very wonderful instructions which we're reading in this part of the Bhagavatam. And if we're very, very serious about studying this part of the Bhagavatam, we'll become liberated from Maya. So, so far, Kapila has only spoken a few verses, but the indication which is being given is that we must begin to practice our life in the mode of goodness. We must regulate our life. This is the first thing that's been emphasized. We need to do that because we need to overcome the problem, the root problem of this material world. And this root problem of the material world is our desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. And that is most, expressed through sex desire. This is how it becomes most manifest. And manifest most strongly. Our desire to enjoy separately from Krishna becomes manifest through sex desire. So, Kapila Dev is giving us instructions how to conquer our material attachment and how to go to the root of the problem to overcome our desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. So he says you must live in the mode of goodness. Because material desires, such as sex desire, when one is too much in passion or ignorance, that's when we have problems with these. With these desires. One who's in the mode of goodness has less problems with these desires. If we regulate our life, if we're getting up early in the morning, if we're chanting our rounds, we're following good sadhana, we have less problem with these desires. We see that. So that's why Kapila is saying, follow regulation. Live in the mode of goodness. Then you can overcome all these problems. Right? So tonight, he'll begin to analyze it further. And in his initial instructions, he goes straight to the root of the problem. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says that eloquence is the truth spoken concisely. That is true eloquence. If you want to be an eloquent speaker, you don't have to use big words and, you know, speak on and on and on and elaborate. No, just go to the point concisely. That is eloquence. So he goes straight to the point. Within a matter of 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 verses, he's just opened up the entire problem of the material world. He's completely analysed it and pinpointed it, right? And even with what we've studied now, it's enough to get us out of the material world, right? If we can imbibe his instructions for so far. That's how powerful the instructions are. So we'll continue to read tonight, and we'll go from verses 11 to 19, 12 to 19, and we'll see, he'll give more intrinsic instructions on how to overcome Maya. So if we add all these things together, if we study very carefully and we follow all the instructions and very carefully and add them all together, then we can overcome Maya, illusion, completely. Okay. Maitreya said, Maitreya said, after hearing of his mother's uncontaminated desire for transcendental realization, the Lord thanked her within himself for her questions, and thus, his face smiling, he explained the path of the transcendentalists who are interested in self-realization. Hey, Megori, do you want to read them?
Confession of material entanglement and her desire to gain release. Her questions to Lord Kapila are very interesting for persons who are actually trying to take liberation from material entanglement and attain the perfectional stage of human life. Unless one is interested in understanding the spiritual life, for his constitutional position, and unless he also feels inconvenience in material existence, his human form of life is spoiled. One who does not care for these transcendental necessities of life simply engages like an animal in eating, sleeping, fearing and mating, has spoiled his life. Lord Kapila was very much satisfied by his mother's questions because the answers stimulate one's desire for liberation from the conditioned life of material existence. Such questions are called apavarika vardhanam. Those who have actual spiritual interest are called sat or devotees. Satan prasangat. Sat means that which eternally exists, and asat means that which is not eternal. Unless one is situated on the spiritual platform, he is not sat, he is asat. The asat stands on a platform which will not exist, but anyone who stands on the spiritual platform will exist eternally. As spirit soul, everyone exists eternally, but the asat has accepted the material world as his shelter, and therefore he is fully full of anxiety. Asat grahan, the incompatible situation of the spirit soul who has the false idea of enjoying matter, is the cause of soul's being asat. Actually, the spirit soul is not asat. As soon as one is conscious of this fact and takes to Krishna consciousness, he becomes sat. Satam gati, the path of the eternal, is very interesting to persons who are after liberation, and his Lordship Kapila began to speak about that path.
Mm. So what are the points?
If you have to seek the absolute truth, you have to approach the one about spiritual life. And Lord Kapila is in place for the inquiries of the mother. So when a disciple raises the questions relating to absolute truth, it is quite basic to the spiritual master. Sometimes my basically my spiritual master asks me that you are not asking any questions about Krishna. And they're not asking me basically. You're not raising the questions of spiritual subject matters. It's sometimes embarrassing.
I see a lot of similarities with this and Bhagavad Gita, where Arjuna is very frustrated and sort of dejected that I cannot go anywhere in terms of please instruct me. This is on the same token. Devahuti is expressing her frustrations, and Lord Kapila Dev is coming as a spiritual teacher who is trying to make us realize it's obviously for us. The similarities are there?
Yeah, same situation. Because if the Lord doesn't have someone in Maya, then he cannot speak.
Yeah.
Meaning that if he doesn't have someone to ask the questions, he cannot speak. So. Same situation, except Arjuna was under the influence of Yoga Maya. He was a liberated soul. Whereas Devahuti may still be, there may be some traces of material contamination there. She's very exalted, but she may not be 100%. Whereas Arjuna is an eternal associate of Krishna. He travels with him in all the Lord's appearances within the material world. So whenever he comes, then Krishna puts him in illusion to speak the Gita. But technically it's the same situation.
One will not inquire about spiritual life unless one gets fed up of material life.
As we said last night, that was the same. Prabhupada's made that point again. It's good.
But if you are happy for any reason, here that we are illusion. So that unless you are feeling, you know, if you are feeling the future material world, at least you are playing.
Yeah, the next purple Prabhupada explains this point nicely.
That's good. Oh, if it was so happy, why did we ever fall down from the spiritual world?
No one knows.
That's not, that answer is not at all there.
How do you explain it? Doesn't make sense.
It's like when we are very blissful and very happy and very happy, why did we ever fall?
It's like you are living in Disneyland and then you want to go and live in Altona. Like, why would you do that? And no one can understand why, but we did it.
Mm.
And many of us did it.
Mm.
So I don't know why. Mm. Prabhupada just says that love cannot be forced.
Mm.
Jiva has independence.
Mm.
That's the only explanation.
Mm.
Misuse of independence.
Mm.
That's the only explanation.
Maybe we thought that even if we fall down, it will be the same bliss and same happiness. Maybe we thought like that. We took it for granted,
the happiness and the bliss. We took it for granted. Yeah, so it means that we wanted to imitate Krishna. That's the point.
Envy
Krishna. Yeah. And that's why we left the material world. So you have to become disgusted with the material world. If you're not disgusted with the material world, then you cannot take the devotional service seriously. Many people like the Hare Krishna movement. Many people like the devotees. But not so many people can take to the practices of Krishna consciousness, because until you're disgusted with material life, you cannot take properly. So this is how Bhakti Yoga begins. We take to the process in the beginning because we're fed up with material life. If you're not fed up, then how do you take? When you're fed up, then you can take to devotional service. And when you're completely fed up, which means you have realization, which means vijnana. Vijnana means you've realized this material world, as Prabhupada explains in this section, for what it is for suffering. When you realize that, then you can fully enter into your spiritual relationship with Krishna. So we have to cultivate that realization. Prabhupada said you have to develop a healthy pessimism for the material world. He says this later in the Bhagavatam. Devotees are healthfully pessimistic about the material world. Just like so many people are pessimistic about the material world. Everyone complains continuously about the government and about everything. People complain. But devotees, we're a little different. Our pessimism is healthy. Theirs just doesn't lead to anything. They don't have any answers. They say, there's so many problems, but then, okay, then what is the answer? So devotees, we also say the same thing. Okay, material world is useless, but then, so what is the positive alternative? That is Krishna consciousness. So Kapila, Prabhupada, is making this point, as we discussed last night, that you must become fed up with the material world. Then you can surrender to Krishna fully.
Apavardhanam.
Apavardhanam. In Sanskrit.
What is the word probability? Hopeful pessimism.
Healthy pessimism. Healthy, yeah.
Okay.
Healthy pessimism. Prabhupada mentions it later in the Bhagavatam. The personality of Godhead answered. Now Kapila begins to speak. And see how eloquent a speaker he is. Because this is Krishna. Prabhupada said last night, there's no greater teacher than Krishna. He is the Adi Guru. Nityananda Prabhu is the Adi Guru. And Guru, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Guru means Nityananda Prabhu. When we say all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, that means all glories to Nityananda Prabhu
and
Mahaprabhu, the Adi Gurus. Krishna is the Adi Guru, speaks the Gita, Mahaprabhu is saying, and Nityananda Prabhu is the first Guru, spiritual master. He is a servant to Godhead. That's what the Chaitanya is explaining, the Adi Leela in the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Chaitanya Bhagavat. So this is the position of Guru. Guru speaks concisely, to the point. Does not waste words, does not waste time. One time I went to see my Guru in 1997. Round about then. And I went to see him, and I was having some problems in my spiritual life based on the fact that I was just about to get married. Not that there's anything wrong with my wife, but that is the nature of the material energy. Prabhupada says man is good, woman is good, but together?
Explosive.
Prabhupada says man is good, woman is good, but together they are bad. Prabhupada says. So I was having some difficulties in my spiritual life based on, no problem with my wife. My wife's a very lovely person, but just a combination like that. So I came to my spiritual master and I was explaining the situation to him, and he said, get to the point. He said, what is the point? And I said to him, like, I was a little taken aback because he could be very heavy. I was taken aback, and I said softly, a little humbly, I said, I'm getting to the point. He said, oh, okay. So then I started speaking again, and after another few seconds, he said, what is the point? So then I got straight to the point. I just said straight out what the problem was, right? And then he said, oh. And then he immediately gave instruction. Because concise. Yeah? What is the point? Prabhupada says in the beginning of the Gita, when you speak to the spiritual master, the conversation must be serious. Don't waste his time. Speak to him about what is important. So you speak to him about what is important and he will speak concisely to you. He gets straight to the point. So you see Kapila, Dave, the way he is teaching now, he gets straight to the point. Just concise. Eloquent. Perfect teacher. The original teacher. The best teacher. I think so. The personality of Godhead answered. The yoga system, which relates to the Lord and the individual soul, which is meant for the ultimate benefit of the living entity, and which causes detachment from all happiness and distress in the material world, is the highest yoga system. Sharada Radha Mataji, can you read the purport?
Yeah. In the material world, everyone is trying to get some material happiness. But as soon as we get some material happiness, there is also material distress. In the material world, one cannot have unadulterated happiness. Any kind of happiness one has is contaminated by distress also. For example, if we want to drink milk, then we have to bother to maintain a cow and keep her fit to supply milk. Drinking milk is very nice. It is also pleasure. But for the sake of drinking milk, one has to accept so much trouble. The yoga system, as here stated by the Lord, is meant to end all material happiness and material distress. The best yoga, as taught in Bhagavad Gita by Krishna, is Bhakti Yoga. It is also mentioned in the Gita that one should try to be tolerant and not be disturbed by material happiness or distress. Of course, one may say that he is not disturbed by material happiness, but he does not know that just after one enjoys so-called material happiness, material distress will follow. This is the law of the material world. Lord Kapila says that the yoga system is the science of the spirit. One practices yoga in order to attain perfection on the spiritual platform. There is no question of material happiness or distress. It is transcendental. Lord Kapila will eventually explain how it is transcendental, but the preliminary introduction is given here.
So what a Prabhupada's point.
From the translation, what I could understand was that a good yoga system will do two things. It will do, one is through detachment from material world, it will develop the detachment, and simultaneously it will create attachment to the Lord. Because it says the yoga system which relates to the Lord and the individual soul, that means it creates that attachment, which is meant for the ultimate benefit of the living, and which causes detachment from all happiness and distress, is the highest yoga system. So the highest yoga system will do both. And that is Bhakti Yoga.
The way the Lord speaks is quite amazing. Just maybe from the translation, like an expert preacher, he gives the conclusion of the philosophy first, before he begins to expand on, you know, the philosophy.
While speaking, Srimad Bhagavad Gita did the same thing. Like if you go back to the last verse of the sixth chapter, Yogi Nam Api Sarvesha, he tells Arjuna that Bhakti Yogi is, you know, the supreme. And then he begins to actually speak about the Bhakti Yoga. And Lord Kapila is doing the same thing. He's just giving the conclusion in a sense first, highlighting Bhakti Yoga is the best, and then he will just philosophize the whole thing.
Yeah, same teaching principle.
Yeah.
Very good.
And Bhagavad also says in this one part that drinking milk is good, but you have to maintain the cow to drink milk. You have to accept the distress of maintaining the cow.
So better just go to 7-Eleven and buy the milk.